praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. In 1924, Witness Lee was dynamically saved by the Lord as a young man in his native China, and he promptly consecrated the rest of his life to the gospel. He co-labored with Watchman Nee for parts of the next three decades, and in 1962, Witness Lee was led by the Lord to come to the United States. During his 35 years of service to the Lord in America, he ministered in weekly meetings and weekend conferences, delivering thousands of spoken messages. Much of his speaking has since been published as more than 400 titles, many of which have been translated into numerous foreign languages. He gave his last public conference in February 1997 at the age of 91. We're happy today to be able to bring you recorded excerpts from his speaking and encourage you to contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. Well, Ron Kangas has joined us once again as we draw very near the conclusion of this life study of Exodus, and it's been a marvelous time, hasn't it, Ron?
It has been marvelous, and I would say the reason is that we have seen Christ himself in a wonderful way, unveiled for our experience for the carrying out of God's economy. When we see such a Christ in relation to our experience and God's economy, the situation in our reading and study of the Word truly become wonderful.
Well, today, Ron, we've come to chapter 34, and this is a chapter where, once again, the Lord gives Moses the tablets containing the commandments. But there are a couple of other matters that we need to look at. Ron, what are these other things that we're going to see today in chapter 34?
I would like to just mention it's a crucial matter for us not only to believe in Christ, but to enjoy him. And in this message, we will see five items related to our enjoyment of Christ. And we will perhaps begin to realize that the reason so many of us do not have the adequate enjoyment of Christ or do not have any enjoyment of Christ is that we do not fulfill these requirements. And the second matter I would emphasize is that Moses was staying with God in his glory under his infusion, mainly not receiving things from God, in a sense not even mainly receiving commandments from God, but primarily receiving God himself as an element transfused into Moses for God's expression. So what we need to look for in this message as opened up through the life study is the enjoyment of Christ and God's infusion of his element for his expression.
Ron, as you were talking, it came to mind that of these two major things happening to Moses on the mountain with God there, of course, an outward item, his receiving these tablets containing the law, and then this more intrinsic or inward operation, this infusion you were talking about. Of course, we wouldn't minimize either, but it's interesting that the second item makes it well into the New Testament as Paul refers back to this time in Corinthians. I think this is something for us to take note of as we explore this matter in today's program.
Yes, what we see with Moses is not simply a historical record of one person's special experience, but Moses was actually in the reality of the new covenant experience of Christ. As you mentioned in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we all with unveiled face. So we're not here to live vicariously through Moses' experience, but to see that Moses' experience, as expounded by Paul, is something for us all. We all with unveiled face may behold and reflect the glory of the Lord and to be transformed into his image from glory to glory, for his expression.
We're going to come back to that. Right now, let's join these five conditions that you mentioned related to our enjoyment of Christ as our feast and our rest. Here's Witness Lee.
To enjoy Christ by feasting and by resting, there are five conditions. Number one, to redeem the firstling of a donkey with a lamb. In brief, this means what? You have been redeemed, but don't forget, you are still so natural. You are not a lamb, you are a donkey. Unclean animal. You have been redeemed because you are the firstborn. We all need to be replaced.
Amen.
We need the lamb to replace us. We need Christ to replace us.
Amen.
You know what? Without such a replacement, we would be bothered in the enjoyment of the feast. Number two, not offering the blood of the Lord's sacrifice with leavened bread. Don't mix up Christ's redemption with your sinful life. Number three, not keeping the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover remaining until the next morning. This simply means you have to enjoy Christ today. You have to enjoy Christ to the uttermost today. You know, some saints do have the thought, let me live in the world for another 20 years, then I'll come back to enjoy Christ. If you do this, you are through. And the fourth is what? Bring the first of the first fruits to the house of God. This means to bring the topmost experience of Christ to the church meeting for God's satisfaction. We need some topmost experience of Christ. And don't share this with others until you bring this top experience to the church meeting for God's satisfaction. And the last condition is very strange. That is, not boiling the kid in its mother's milk. This means what? To use the milk of the word, which is for life nourishment, to kill the young believers. The word is for nourishing the young believers. If you have the experience, you could see these five conditions are crucial to our daily enjoyment of Christ.
Well, Ron, we've seen a list now in this section of Exodus containing five conditions that the Lord gave to Moses in order for the people to be able to enjoy Christ symbolically by feasting and resting. These five, when we look at them outwardly, may sound a bit strange, but there is a real spiritual significance to all of them. Would you review them for us?
Well, we have this matter of the donkey needing to be redeemed, and we may wonder, what does that have to do with us? But our wondering will cease when we realize that with respect to our natural life, we have a donkey element, and that if we remain in this undealt with natural life, we cannot enjoy the Lord. And then another of these factors is that, in principle, we need to keep the feast of unleavened bread. We need to have an unleavened Christian life. And that is a life through the eating of Christ as our bread of life, a life that is purged of the sinful things. I mean, to be very blunt, we cannot sin and simultaneously enjoy Christ. It's one or the other. Then we need to be assured that God Himself receives the top portion for His enjoyment and satisfaction. And then we also need to realize that the time to enjoy Christ is now, that there's a sense in which the enjoyment of the Lord is dispensational, and that it's measured out for this age, and if we enjoy Christ in this age, we will enjoy Him in a particular way in the coming age. But we may have, a kind of casual attitude toward the enjoyment of Christ, and feel that, well, whether I enjoy Him now doesn't really matter. I will enjoy Him later. But God has ordained that we enjoy today's portion of Christ today. If there's daily bread, it's day by day. We need to enjoy it today. And I'm dwelling on this more than some of the others because I do have some feeling that many of the Lord's children are postponing their enjoyment of Christ. And they may be doing a number of things that are biblical or religious or seemingly spiritual. But what about the enjoyment of Christ? Then the last point concerns the proper use of the word as milk. This word about not boiling a kid in its mother's milk. The milk from the mother is to be nourishment, but this prohibition must point to some actual practice of taking something that should be nourishment, that is milk, and using it to kill by boiling. The Bible talks about the pure milk of the Word. The milk is in the Word of God. And with respect to the young ones, we should not use this milk to scald them, but to feed them. But regrettably, especially with those who are religiously inclined and kind of have a legal approach to the Christian life, they may take the word that's meant to be food and actually use it to boil and to kill the new believers. So if we are using the word in this way, we cannot have the enjoyment of Christ. So these are, in brief, the requirements that, spiritually speaking, need to be applied today so that we may enjoy Christ now.
In our introduction, Ron, you alluded to two items that we're really covering today. These five principles or five conditions are the first, and the second was this intrinsic matter, this matter of infusion. Let's join Witness Lee as we come to that point.
God wrote the 10 words, that means 10 commandments, on the two tablets and sent Moses off. With God, his intention was for his people to enjoy him. But with Moses, his intention was to bring down these 10 commandments. He held these two tablets. I believe this time he was happy. Coming down, no golden calf there, no problem. The Bible says what? The Bible says, while he was holding the two tablets, he didn't know that his face was shining. God has infused him with God himself. Moses didn't care for that. Even he got infused, he didn't know. He only knew his heart was filled with the two tablets. His heart was filled with the law. He didn't care for God's infusion. Actually, we don't need the two tablets. What we need? God's infusion. Amen. Today, the same thing. When you come to the Bible, you just take the Bible as two tablets. You don't take care of God's infusion. Sometimes in the morning, watch, we got some good word. That became commandments, yet we didn't know. God didn't care for that. God cared for you being infused by him. So in New Testament, there's no law keeping, but the feast enjoying. That's Christ. The entire New Testament teaching is on the feasting on Christ. And on the abolishing of the law. The law is abolished, and it is fully replaced by the feasting on Christ.
Ron, Moses finished his second period of 40 days in God's presence on the mountain. Of course, to his understanding, probably the most marvelous thing that he received in those 40 days were the tablets containing the commandments. But actually, as you alluded to earlier, there was something else that he received that was ultimately a much greater benefit. What about this second item, Ron?
What Moses received primarily was not something from God, but God himself. It's altogether possible that in our concern for God's interests, in our preoccupation with the Lord's work, with our worry about our spiritual progress, with our intent to increase our knowledge of the Word, we may spend whatever time we do spend in fellowship with the Lord seeking things, even biblical, spiritual, or divine things from the Lord. And I wouldn't say this is wrong, but no thing, even a divine thing given by God, can compare with the God of glory himself. And the desire of God's heart is not primarily to give us things, material or spiritual, but to impart himself in Christ as the Spirit into him through a process of divine infusion that takes place as we fellowship with him based upon the blood of the covenant, face to face. Nothing is greater than God himself. And our supreme goal should not be to get something from God, but to gain God in a way of subjective experience for God's expression. This is what we see in this chapter, in Moses' experience.
Well, and as we touched a bit in the introduction, there is a reference very clear, direct in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's set the context for that reference as we come to our final section today. We find it in Exodus 34, a couple of verses here. Let me read them, verses 29 and 30. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone by reason of his speaking with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, at that time the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Quite an experience that Moses had in God's presence that at the time he was not even aware of all of its impact. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
If you like to be such a Moses, you need to have such a stay. Such a stay with God. Amen. He stayed there 40 days and 40 nights without eating and without sleeping. How he made it? God made it for him. To stay with God, you have to forget everything. To forget about your possessions. Don't feed your flocks. Don't take care of your herd. Even don't take care of yourself. No eating, no sleeping. Just be there in the presence of God. What they did, I really don't know. I don't think just for such a chapter, they needed 40 days and 40 nights. What they did there, I really don't know. But one principle I know, this was the reason Moses was fully saturated by God. He was fully infused with God. He stayed there 40 days doing nothing but to be infused by God, to be enlightened by God. How wonderful is this? He had an open face to converse with God, with an unveiled face. Let us behold him and reflect him, and then we will be transformed into his image.
Amen.
This is the shining. The shining is just the appearing of God's image. Today, we need to take off the veil with an unveiled face to face him, to behold him, and reflect him. Then we would be transformed into his image. That's our shining. Well, what they did there for 40 days, 40 nights? There was no chair, no bench, no bed, no stool for Moses to sit down or to lie down. What happened there? We don't know. But anyhow, a wonderful thing was going on all those 40 days, 40 nights. That was God infusing Moses with himself. That was God saturating of Moses. If we could see something here, we may get much help in our fellowship with the Lord and in our Christian life.
Ron, let's look at Moses' stay with God, 40 days and 40 nights. If we look closely at this record in Exodus, Ron, it's interesting that there is no mention of anything practical, no word concerning his food or his flocks, no stool for him to sit on, no bed mentioned for him to sleep on. Apparently, nothing there waiting for him at the top of the mountain except God himself. What can we see here, Ron, that can be helpful to us in our own fellowship with the Lord?
There are some skeptics, actually, who say this is impossible for Moses to be with God 40 days and 40 nights and not eat or drink, that this is a biological impossibility. Well, I would agree. In the natural realm, according to the natural concept, this is impossible. The reason I mention this is that all the things we need for our physical life, a house to live in, air to breathe, water, food, clothing, a place to rest, these are actual physical necessities. We need them. But in God's eyes, they're not the real things. Rather, they're signs of God himself in Christ as the Spirit being the reality of those things to us. Is the real food what we prepare physically? No. The real food is God. The water that we drink, is that the real water? The real water is God as the Spirit flowing as rivers of water of life. The real rest is God. The dwelling place is God. I already, I believe, emphasized adequately for the present purpose that Moses was contacting God, receiving God himself, rather than something given by God. Now, in this context, I would say that in Moses' experience, he literally does not have to eat or drink because God is his life and life supply. God is his bread, his water, his rest. I would further say that when Moses is in such a fellowship with God, he's touching a realm of eternity. God is the I am. I don't believe he was trying to calculate the time. He was just in a realm of divine glory and infusion. And I'm not suggesting that we can do without the physical necessities. But what I'm suggesting, actually more than suggesting, is that we need to be brought by the Spirit through the Word into a recognition and experience of the fact that the triune God is everything to us. He is our real food, our real drink, our rest, our dwelling place. What we need is God himself in Christ as the Spirit to be our life and our life supply. This is not a momentary experience of one exceptional Moses. This is the normal Christian life in the Spirit, in which we contact the Lord, are infused with the Lord, eat and drink and breathe and live in and rest upon the Lord as everything to us for his corporate expression. So we need God himself in his glory, and we need God to be everything to us in Christ as the Spirit for our spiritual life. We need to be brought to the point that this is what we need. Man does not live on bread alone. Man lives on every word that comes out through the mouth of God in face-to-face fellowship with him in glory on the mountain, signifying resurrection and ascension. We need to learn this not merely as a word in the Bible, but as a reality in our experience in and for God's economy.
Ron, as we opened the program today, you drew our attention to this phrase in 2 Corinthians 3. I want to close today by coming back to it. But we all, with unveiled face. As you said, this is not the account just of one great spiritual man, Moses. This is really a pattern for all of us who follow after him and all of the others that have cut the way.
This is normal. It's for us all. We need to hear this, know this, believe this, receive this, and experience it. God is not interested in producing a few spiritual giants. Rather, God's heart's desire is to recover the normal overcoming Christian life through the divine dispensing according to God's economy. May the day come when more and more of the Lord's children can echo Paul's words, "We all."
Amen. Please remember our toll-free number. You can contact us for material we offer or just a fellowship. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Do you want to know the deeper truths of the Bible? Wish you could attend a Bible study, but just don't have the time? Well, if you enjoyed this program, then we invite you to visit our website at lsmradio.com. From there, you'll find programs on every book of the Bible and all free of charge. These programs will not only give you a more profound understanding of the Scriptures, but also refresh and revitalize your daily Christian walk. From our website, you can download the MP3 files, stream them live, or subscribe to the podcast. Again, all free of charge. Once more, that website, lsmradio.com. Thanks for listening.